Are you going out to eat tonight? Maybe you'll be working in a restaurant tonight. Anyone who ever goes out to eat or anyone who has ever worked in food service will be interested in our program this hour because we are going to be talking to the waiter, the author of the Waiter Rant blog, where he exposes the boorish behavior of some customers, not to mention some of his own coworkers and bosses. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 6 on this Friday, August the 22nd. We will find out this hour how to be a decent restaurant customer, among other things, as we talk with Steve Dubla-Ica. I'm sorry, I forgot Dubla-Nica. He is the author of Waiter Rant, Thanks for the Tip, Confessions of a Cynical Waiter. He started his popular blog, waiterrant.net, in 2004, winning the 2006 Best Writing in a Blog Bloggy Award. And again, the author of the new book, Waiter Rant. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for being with us. Now, are you still blogging and are you still a waiter?
I'm still blogging, and I am no longer a waiter. And I think anyone who reads the book will understand why I can never work in a restaurant again. No one will hire me.
Yeah, well, I learned a lot. I learned an awful lot reading this book. You say that most of the customers are decent customers. 80%
are
decent customers, but the other 20%?
Psychopaths, just crazy entitled people. That just, they're like the bad apples that spoil the bunch. They are the ones the waiters remember, and they also can make life miserable for the other diners.
Yeah. Well, give us some outrageous examples.
Well, I think the one I put in the book is one of the best. I had a lady who sadly had a stroke in the hospital, in the back of the restaurant, and these, people came in as the ambulance was, you know, strapping her to the gurney, and they were like, you know, we want a table. Like, it was like, we want that table, or we want a table nearby in that section. And I was like, are you kidding me? Do you see this lady, like, being trundled out of here? And they were like, oh, you know, we don't care, basically. I mean, that kind of stuff. I mean, people who would literally step over a dead body.
My
for a
God.
Table. Yeah.
People would come.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you did. You wrote about how, for instance, how on Mother's Day, somebody would come in and demand the table by the window, even though they didn't even have a reservation.
Well, every restaurant has a limited selection of best seats in the house. There's only a couple, usually. And everyone feels slighted if they don't get that table. It's just the reality is that not everyone can have it, and there's only so much you can do, and these people come in with no reservation. And then you know what they say? They say, I'm friends with the owner. And, you know, I always joke the owner doesn't have any friends, but the reality is I know who his friends are, and if you have to tell me you're his friend, you're not.
Yeah.
So, that kind of stuff drove me bananas.
And how much do those types of customers usually tip?
You know what? Very often, those customers are bad tippers because that's one of the signs of a bad tipper is just this entitled behavior. Because if they're going to get that snotty about where they're sitting, they're going to probably be cheap when it comes to the tip. So my modus operandi was to give those people a hard time, so when they came back to the restaurant, they would literally say, we don't want to sit in Steve's section. And everyone thought, well, that's a sign of a bad waiter. Well, it's a sign of a smart waiter, I think, because most of my customers were good tippers who knew how to behave themselves in a restaurant. So I would have an easier time of it while the other servers would get the dregs, you know, or they would get the weirdos, and they had to deal with them. And sometimes they did better with them than I did, in all honesty. They could handle them better. But that's how I did things.
Yeah. Some people would be really good verbal tippers, but then you would get squat in money.
Oh, I mean, that's insane. You know, we would get these, you get somebody, they have a $100 check, and they would say, you're the best waiter we ever had. And the minute we heard that, that was like the peal of doom. We knew there's no tip. And they'd leave like $5 on a $100 check. I'm like, lady, I can't pay the rent with you saying good job. I can't cash that in the bank. And occasionally, of course, you get people that say, you're a wonderful waiter, and they give you a wonderful tip. But, you know, the odds were you heard that much verbal praise, you were in trouble.
And sometimes you would confront the customer if they gave you that
tip. Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, I had this one guy, and it wasn't just me. It was everybody. Everybody. He just gave like 8% to everybody. And we were like, what's the deal? Is he not tipping on the booze? Is he not tipping on the tax? Is he crazy? And then one day I finally had it and I said, you know, sir, was there a problem? And he's like, no. And I said, well, could you tip me 8%? And the customary tip is like 15%. And he got, you know, and I write that he looked like the bully who found out the guy who was picking on him has a black belt. You know, all of a sudden he was like, uh-oh, you know, and he threw me a couple extra bucks. But then he went home and he wrote an email to the owner, and he said that I embarrassed him in front of his children, like his teenage daughter. And he said, you know, how outraged he was. And, of course, my boss was furious at me. And he said, you can never do that again or you're going to get fired. And there's some truth to that. You really, confronting the customers on the tips, sometimes it doesn't help. Because, you know, I would like to scare them off to another restaurant. Hopefully the competition. I was, you know, but no, those people were nutty.
Yeah.
So I came to, and the longer I became a waiter, I began to realize you have to put up with the bad tips to be around for the good tips.
We will get some more tips on being decent restaurant customers after we check the weather, talking with Steve Dublanica. Is that right? Dublanica. Dublanica. I need to hear it. Dublanica. He is author of Waiter Rant, Thanks for the Tip, Confessions of a Cynical Waiter. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I want the waiter with the water. I want the waiter with the water for my daughter. I want the waiter with the water for my daughter, 'cause my daughter has an...
We are talking about waiters, talking about being good restaurant customers and welcoming your questions and maybe even your own experiences as a customer or a server, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, August the 22nd. Our guest is the author of the new book, The Waiter Rant, Thanks for the Tip, Confessions of a Cynical Waiter. Our first caller is Joy in Racine. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just was calling to basically make a comment. In my years of waitressing, I found that smokers were a better tipper than non-smokers.
How come?
I don't know if it was just the
life
way I treated
them. Life is short.
I know. I don't know. I think so many girls did not want to work with the smokers, but I had no problem with it, and I was always so nice to them, and they tipped me better every single time. I also notice men get better tips than women, and I don't understand that concept at all.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, the smoking thing, and I'm an ex-smoker. I don't know. I think they're just, you know, what Lincoln said, I never trusted someone who doesn't drink and doesn't smoke, because they tend to be good tippers, too. I don't know what that's about, But women versus men, I always noticed that the tip was different because the check size was different. Men tend to eat more than women, so their check sizes used to be bigger. But I think sometimes tips are lower because women are treated like second-class citizens very often in restaurants because they may drink less or eat less, and their tips are correspondingly smaller. So some waiters don't want to wait on them, and they feel that, and they take out that frustration in the gratuity.
Well,
sometimes that happens.
I'm wondering, Joy, do you think the guys are tipping you big so they impress you, and maybe the girls
there
don't?
There was that too. I know as myself though now, if I go into a restaurant by myself as a single woman, I can almost see the waiters going, "Oh God!" And if they treat me anywhere halfway decently, I overtip just so that they treat the next person better.
Yeah, that's probably the most discriminated against customer in all restaurants is the single woman coming in for something to eat, which is unfortunate. But that's I've heard that many times. Waiters going, "Oh, I don't want her. I don't want her,"
because they think she's
for some odd reason a guy comes in by themselves, and they're not thrilled with that either. But I don't know what that's about. It's a societal thing, and it's unfortunate. I always try to treat people who came in of either sex by themselves well, because guess what? I ate alone by myself quite a bit.
Well, I know. I have left, like, gigantic tips, and I thought, well, yeah, maybe, you know, because of that, they're going to treat the next female that comes in just a little bit better.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I love this story, and I can't wait to find this book. I'm really looking forward to reading it.
Yeah, you'll love
it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. What about that? Are people who have been servers in restaurants better tippers than...
They had better be.
Yeah.
Or karma's going to hit them on the head. I mean, it's I tend to, every waiter I know tends to be a good tipper because we just understand. We're just more compassionate than the average diner. But believe it or not, there are waiters out there who are lousy tippers.
Yeah, well,
sure.
And you wrote that you don't like customers telling you, "Oh, I used to be a waiter."
That ticks me off.
How come?
It just, you know what? It gets in my craw. It's like, It's not because they're when I hear that very often, it's not because they're commiserating with my misery. It's because they want something. You know, like, "Well, I used to be a waiter, so give me some free stuff." I mean, I hear that. I used to hear that all the time. I almost never tell anyone I was a waiter when I go out to eat. Now, of course, you know, I'm kind of stuck. But that was something I rarely did.
No, and while I never was a waiter or a server, I did work in a mom-and-pop sub sandwich shop through my college years. But I was fortunate. We didn't get tips there. You got the minimum wage, but you didn't get any tips. But I also had a manager who said the customer is not always right.
He's a very smart person.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. And to operate, you see, what they do is people use that mantra as an excuse, as a cover-up, to excuse customers' boorish behavior. Just because you're in a servant role, and it is a servant job, let's face it, you're not a slave. And people think, though, that they can, like, treat you like dirt, and then when you say, "Hey," they go, "The customer's always right." And then you go, "Wrong."
Yeah.
And I would tell that to people, yeah.
Especially at bar time at the sub sandwich shop, they were not always right. You had a number of intoxicated people that you dealt with too, didn't you?
Oh yeah, oh jeez.
Kind of sad, really. Sometimes.
Well, I've had people throwing up at the table, you know. And what I always loved was one time I had this guy. He just threw up all over his tablecloth, and the bus people swooped in, and they took the tablecloth up by the corners. They took everything, plates, food, glasses, and upchuck, and they just threw it in the garbage. And I handed the man the check and said, "Have a nice night."
Oh, no.
off he went. That was it. Get out.
You had a woman return to your restaurant one time to say, "The tuna made me sick. I threw up when I got home,
yeah,
and give me my money back."
Yeah. Well, that's the two things. That's people trying to scam out of the bill, and also people claiming they got sick on the food. I can't tell you how many times I saw people, they would eat their dinner, at the end of dinner they'd be like, "I don't feel well," you know. And it is almost, and I'm not a doctor, but most doctors would agree with me, is that you can't get sick off the food in that short amount of time. It takes, you know, several hours for whatever you swallow to start multiplying and make you sick. So usually when people get sick in a restaurant, they're reacting to something that they ate earlier. I knew one guy who told me that he had a surgical procedure 2 weeks earlier, and the infection hit him while he was eating in a restaurant. And you think, oh, it must be the food, but in reality, it's something different. So this young lady in the book, I think she claimed that she had gotten sick within an hour of eating tuna. And she came back, and she won her entire, I think it was like a $200 bill refunded. And I didn't fall for that gag. You know, I just refunded her dish, but not the three other dishes on the check. So sometimes customers, they are in error about that stuff. But also, you know, I mean, the flying my soup thing has evolved.
Yeah. Well, speaking of gross things in your food, waiters don't really spit in our food, do they?
Well, they do.
It
does happen. It happens fairly rarely. I never did it. None of the waiters I ever worked with, I never saw a waiter spit in the food. But I know it happens because I've thought about it. And I have a lot of self-control.
And
I know people don't. So somebody did it somewhere. But it does happen occasionally.
Yeah.
But
if we see a hair in our soup, that's ours?
Yours,
or it's
yours.
It is ours. It's not.
It almost always is. Yeah. Guys are wearing hairnets in the kitchen. The girls have their hair tied up. I keep my hair really short. So very often, you know, I would see a peroxide blonde would say, there's a hair in my soup, and I'd be in the kitchen looking at it. We'd be like, yeah, that's hers. You know, so, I mean, it does happen. And you know, it's not the end of the world. My God, just pluck it out and eat your food. I mean, how bad is that? Seriously, like, you know, if you found a roach in the food, yeah, well, then you get upset. But a hair? Oh, come on. If you're at home and your husband's hair somehow ended up on the plate, what are you doing? He's watching. And he don't care.
So, all right, let's say we find a cockroach in our tuna.
That's bad. Yeah, that's
that is
cool.
Bad. That is bad. So then what's the remedy? What should we expect?
Well, the first thing I like to tell everybody is that cockroaches are in every restaurant.
Yeah.
Everywhere. They're in your kitchen. They're in my kitchen. And when you look at a restaurant that pumps out thousands of meals with stuff all over the place, no matter how clean it is, you're going to have cockroaches. So occasionally they find their way in the food. You just say these things happen, and you just, you know, you can either get the dish for free, or you get a new dish, or you get something else. These things happen. If they happen a lot, that's not good. That's a sign something's wrong. The thing you never want to see in a restaurant are the beady-eyed little critters. When you see mice.
Oh, no, yeah.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Mice droppings. When you see that, that means the restaurant is not keeping up with the extermination protocols. You know, bugs I can deal with because sometimes the bug can come in on your clothes. You could bring the bug in,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
But mice, ooh.
Let's take a
bubonic plague, anyone? That's nice.
Plus, you think that you'd at least sweep the droppings off the floor or the table. But the restaurant management.
You would imagine, right? Yeah.
Lee and Shauno.
Yes. Good morning, Steve. And
morning.
Yeah. Okay. What I want to confront you with is I have been a waitress for 10 years and working in Chicago, Illinois, and I worked in some very fancy supper clubs. And, yes, you are absolutely right, Steve. There's good days and bad days, and sometimes the good days make up for the bad days. But we got to a point, a group of girls and I, we went marching into the office one day, and we told the manager, sir, we realize, and this was, you know, pretty long ago, I'm not waitressing no longer, we said, don't you think that you should pay us a little more? Even 50 cents more an hour would help to compensate for the poor tippers. And right now, especially, Steve, with the cost of living out there, I don't have to tell you, the restaurants all Zoom went way up. So yep. People are having a little harder time tipping too, Steve.
Yeah.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, people are. I mean, we've seen people starting to trim back on the tip. But,
yeah.
But let me bring this back.
Let me hold you there, Steve, because we have news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio next, but then we'll return. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 6:36 on this Friday, August the 22nd. Our guest is Steve Dublonica. He is the author of Waiter Rant. Thanks for the tip, Confessions of a Cynical Waiter. We are talking about some of the outrageous behavior that a waiter witnesses, talking about the mostly good but sometimes very bad customers in restaurants, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for him. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Steve is also the popular blogger WaiterRant.net, an award-winning blog, which talks about his life and times in a popular, upscale New York restaurant. And Steve, I'm sorry that I've been having problems with your name, but the book itself says that the book is by the waiter. Were you?
That's right.
Were you trying to be anonymous for a while here?
Well, you know what happened. It's convoluted, but I'll keep it short. The blog started out totally anonymously because guess what? I didn't want to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was very fortunate and approached to do a book, we said, well, we'll still be anonymous. And then, but then we came to this point where we said, well, the book is written and we have to sell it. You know, you have to do appearances and stuff like that. And you can't not do that. And we just said, well, I guess we have to let everybody know who I am. So it was an organic revelation, mm-hmm. as it were.
And you're still not confirming or denying those who think they have figured out what restaurant you worked at.
Yeah, that's I'll tell you my name, but I won't confirm or deny any place I worked.
Yeah, the restaurant has been dubbed the Bistro.
I think it's best to leave it.
All right. Well, we had a caller just before news time, Lee in Shawano, who said she spent many a year waitressing in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, she thinks restaurant owners should pay their wait staff more, and then they don't have to rely on tips from people who are facing tough times themselves.
No, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Basically, very few restaurants managers, I mean owners on their own, are going to pay their waiters a living wage. That just doesn't happen in this country very often. And tips are the bulk of a waiter's income, the vast bulk. I don't know what the minimum wage is for tip workers in Wisconsin. In New York, it's $4.60 an hour, which is like nothing. And like in other states, it's as low as $2.13 an hour. So we need those tips. One of the bad things about the economy is people are starting to trim back on going out to eat, but they're also trimming back on what they tip. So 20% tippers have become 15% tippers in many regards. But some people, and that's fine because the 15 to 20% is acceptable, but when people say, well, I'll give them 8%, I've always said, if you can't afford the tip, you can't afford to go out to eat. And you and I don't go to the store and say, I'm going to buy that drill, but I'm going to give you $10 less for it. That just doesn't work that way. And it's the same thing with restaurants. For better or for worse, the tips are part of the cost of doing business when going out to a restaurant.
Yeah. Should the customer, though, let's say the service wasn't stellar, you still should do the 15 to 20%?
Well, I have to give tips no matter what because my karma demands it. But I think when you get bad service, I always tip because the waiter doesn't keep the entire tip. Parts of that tip get distributed to the other workers in the restaurant, such as the bus people, the bartender, the hostess, people who may have done nothing wrong and have given you great service. So is it fair to punish all of them because of one person? You can either just give the tip directly to the bus person and bypass the waiter and say, you know, I'm not giving you the tip I gave to the bus person. You could leave the tip, and then I suggest write a letter, you know, one of those old-fashioned things with the stamp to the owner and say, I received poor service. And don't be crazy about it. Just be rational. And very often the owner will send you a gift certificate, and you get your next meal subsidized by him or her. So that's how I approach bad service. But you shouldn't go nuts in a restaurant. It should be just like if you got some bad, if you got a bad product and you were returning it to the store, you should have that same mindset. Be calm, be rational, no screaming, no yelling.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't know if it just takes a really long time to get your food or things like that are happening. It may not be the waiter's fault.
I've seen the chef like fighting with his girlfriend in the parking lot and he's snide in the kitchen. And sometimes I've seen cooks under the influence of substances and things it's just not going right in the kitchen. So you don't know what's going on. And very often on a Saturday night, and this is why I tell people Saturday night's not a good night to go out to eat, the poor chef, God bless them, they get hit with like 70 orders at one time because everyone comes at what time? They all come at 7 o'clock. So all the appetizers and all the entrees are hitting the kitchen at the same time. And there's only four or five burners on the stove, so sometimes things slow down.
So avoid Saturday nights at 7 o'clock?
If the restaurant is smart, they see that time well, and there's not a problem. But many restaurants are greedy, and they try and stuff as many people as they can at 7 o'clock. Yeah, I would come like 6. I would come like 9 or 8:30. But, you know, that's when everyone wants to go out to eat. So when I go out to eat on a Saturday night, I never go at 7 o'clock. I'll wait. I'll say, well, we eat at 9 o'clock when things come down.
You had a section in the book on tipping, and you figure that those who consistently tip 10% are senior citizens who just don't know that that it's gone up.
Yeah, well, 10% used to be the tip. That used to be the standard tip in the United States for waiters, and I think that was when Eisenhower was president. So I think that's what senior citizens do. They still think, you know, they're going, oh, isn't it 10%? And then it climbed up to 15%. I don't know exactly when. And now it's climbing up to 20%. Like 20% is the new 15%. And that's just the cost of living.
Yeah. You said something that surprised me in the book, that if somebody gives you a 25 or even more percent tip, that's not the greatest either. I mean, don't you want
to? Yeah, I mean, we like money. Who can? And I'm not going to lie, I've taken those 30, 35% tips to put in my pocket. But what happens is you don't want to, if you took it the long-term view, if everyone tipped between 15 and 20% consistently and acted like a polite human being, waiting tables would just be a much easier job. The reality is you may get that 35% tip that's only making up, but you break even because some idiot gave you a 5% tip.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people who come in with those tips, they get into the I'm going to buy you routine. And they think, you know, well, I own you now because I give you 40%. I knew a guy who came in and he would give the waitress $100. It didn't matter what he ordered. If it was a cup of coffee, he gave her $100. Well, he has some ulterior motives to dropping that $100, and he wasn't shy about telling them. So sometimes those tippers can make us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, she took the money. I mean, you know.
Right.
But, I think 25% is, like, super nice. And if you want to leave something really nice, Christmas is a good time.
Yeah.
You know?
We have an email from John in Richland Center, and he wants to know if restaurants require waiters and waitresses to pool their tips and divide them among one another at the end of the night.
Well, it depends on what kind of place you work. The bistro, no. I would keep all the tips I made, and then I would tip out 20% of what I made to the support people. So I kept 80 cents on every dollar. So if I had a good night, I had good tips. If I had a bad night, I had bad tips. But many restaurants have pool houses, which is basically all the tips go into the kitty, and then they get divided supposedly evenly at the end of the night. And I personally don't like pool houses because that allows lazy waiters to operate, you know, and I can be busting myself all night and make the same amount of money as someone who spent the whole night smoking cigarettes in the alley. And that's really a downer.
Our guest is Steve Dublonica. He is the author of the book Waiter Rant: Thanks for the Tip, Confessions of a Cynical Waiter. He also is the writer of the popular blog WaiterRant.net. 1-800-642-1234 if you're a waiter or a server who wants to also rant, or maybe you're a customer who wants to challenge our guest or has a question. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, August the 22nd. Coming up after 7, we will talk with the two Libertarian candidates running for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. So two Libertarian candidates, 2-for-1 a candidate forum coming up in our next hour. Right now we're talking about the restaurant business and what it's like to be a server in a restaurant with the waiter. once the anonymous blogger of waiterrant.net. His name is Steve Dublonica. He is the author of Waiter Rant, Thanks for the Tip, Confessions of a Cynical Waiter. And our next caller is Daryl in Appleton. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I would like to challenge the guest this morning that it's not a blanket-type situation. I used to travel to Charlotte, North Carolina, a couple times a month, and I always visited this one particular restaurant, and it was exceedingly good on service. The food was very good as well. But I got to know the owner there, and so I asked him one evening in a congratulating fashion about his staff. And I asked him, I said, what's your secret to the success that you have with your staff? And he said, well, there's two things. He said, first of all, it is a pool on the tip. And he said, the second thing is my staff does all of the hiring and firing. So that he says, he was co-owner. He says, me and my partner do not hire the staff. That's all done by the other staff that's already here. And I understand how it can be lazy in certain restaurants and so forth. But it was such a delight to be there and to be able to have the perfect service from every waiter and waitress that walked by. They were very observant. They took care of it. You may or may not see your other waiter until the end of the meal when you get your bill. So in at least some cases, it is a very good situation to have tools and the tips. That's my comment.
All right. Thank you very much, Daryl. Steve?
Well, this is where my cynical part comes out. Yeah, that sounds like a great place. The reality is that many owners do not trust their waiters to make any kind of personnel decisions for liability reasons. They don't want to get sued. And very often, it would be nice if pure economics or would determine who stays in what restaurant. But waiters and waitresses are famous for forming romantic entanglements on the job. And sometimes those relationships severely impact those hiring and firing decisions. So it can work in some restaurants, and it may not work in others. But, you know, if you go to some of your higher-end restaurants like Per Se in New York or 11 Madison Park, they have pool houses, but they're run by a very professional management organization, so they don't have any problems. They have excellent service and excellent food. But very often on the independent businessman level, that's a very difficult thing to do.
David in Fort Atkinson. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. I have to disagree with your guest on whether or not you should withhold tips or limit tips if you don't get good service. I know that your guest said that a lot of times the tips are pooled, so the busboy and others get a cut of that tip. But in that case, the wait staff is, you might say, the face or the front person for all those others. And if you don't get good service, or if my wife and I don't get good service, we will limit the tips. We go to a restaurant because we want to be served, not because we can't cook. I have a wife who can really cook well. But we go because we just don't want to cook that night, and we want to be waited upon. And when we get somebody who's polite, attentive, smiles, who comes back and asks us how things are when we don't have a mouthful of food, then we tip well. And when we get somebody who is not interested in us, who doesn't show up, they just bring the food and then they're gone, we won't tip very well. And I was once told that TIPS stands for to ensure proper service. I don't know if that's true, but that's the mode that my wife and I operate on.
Well, I think one of the good things about it does not mean to ensure prompt service, but one of the nice things about tips is it does give waiters an incentive to behave themselves and to be customer friendly, and that's true. And I don't like bad service more than anyone else. But the reality is that if they do not get tipped, they do not get paid, and that's it. It does, and being polite and being a good server, those are the waiters who will make money. So it behooves a waiter to be good at their job. But what sometimes worries me is that sometimes people refuse to tip for stupid reasons. You know, like if I catch you with a mouthful of food, oops, my mistake, you're going to knock $10 off my tip for that. You know, I mean, there are things that I understand if I'm rude to you or if I screw up your order, well, then you have a reason to be upset. But sometimes I go up to a table, Joy, and I say, hi, everybody, how are you? You know what they do? They ignore you.
Yeah.
They just keep talking like you're not there. And then guess what happens? Then 10 minutes later, they're like, well, why didn't you come to our table? And they start, you know, sometimes the customers, they get a little too eager about knocking down that tip. I once met a guy who said he put the tip on the table. And he said, for every mistake you make, I'm taking money out of your tip.
Oh,
said,
what a jerk.
I said, you're going to have the worst meal of your life.
No.
That's what I told the guy.
Yeah.
So I understand there needs to be good service. Waiters have to do a good job. But sometimes customers have got to check their egos at the door as to exactly, you know, you're going to be served. That's great. But we're not slaves either. So you got to come to some kind of balance. How are you going to figure that out?
Tell me, if you ask me, you know, can I take your order or do you need a few minutes? And I say, I need a few minutes. Am I, you know, setting myself up to not seeing you again for half an hour?
No. I think what that's fine. You know, I have waiters come up to me and I'm like, I don't know. I think what happens is if you don't know for half an hour.
Yeah, you do tell a story about you're standing there.
Crazy.
Yeah, you're
standing, you know,
you there,
walk up, what would you like? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay, I'll come back. Oh, don't go anywhere, waiter. I'll figure it out in a minute. And you're literally standing there for 10 minutes. You got other tables to take care of. If you don't know, we'll give you time. It's cool not to know what you want. You know, we want you to have a good time. We want you to pick something that you're going to like. We'll give you recommendations. But don't keep us waiting by the table while you figure it out.
Yeah, Richard in Downsville. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I would ask the guest, as a former restaurant owner, to address waitstaff's inability to classify their guests. There are some people that are just bad tippers, and that's the way it is. That has to be accepted. But typically, in my restaurant, I saw a very big push where people were into it for the money, and they'd see a kid that was 25 years old come in with a long ponytail and a flannel shirt on, and say, oh, this is going to be a great tip, and then find out that the guy's ordering $150 bottles of wine.
Mm-hmm.
So too quick to rush to the decision, instead of taking a few moments, 20 seconds at the beginning of the service, to figure out who they're waiting on. Are they waiting on a pair of lovers that want to be left alone that are about to be engaged? Are they waiting on businessmen who have paperwork? Are they waiting on three couples that want to have a party and treat their guest accordingly, instead of prejudging them? And then another comment, it seems to me that the waiters in the business that are out for the dollars, only out for the money.
Oh, and what are the owners out for?
Pardon me?
What are the owners out for?
The owners
why
are out for.
Why did you operate
well,
a restaurant?
What I want
did
to say
you do it out of the
you,
goodness of your heart? Was it a charity thing?
No.
You were there
not
to make money too,
charity,
right?
But I'm saying, if you're out for the dollars only, you act that way. If you are warm and sincere and
mm-hmm.
giving, you'll make lots of money. All the
well,
people I've ever had.
Yeah,
that have...
that's true. And I think a good waiter has to balance these two out. You know, we're not there for our health. We're there to make money. So is the restaurant owner. And you're right. A good waiter is going to take the time out to look at a customer and try and determine, you know, the vibe from that customer and act accordingly. And that's very true. But to say, you know, all waiters are for the money, I'm sorry, it's as cynical on the cover of my book. And I've just, not all restaurant, well, many restaurant owners are fine people, I'm sure you were too. But that just drives me crazy because a lot of restaurant owners are so into it for the money that they don't think about what they're doing when they make hiring decisions. You know, they'll hire the thin, good-looking waitress, you know, even though she can't carry an order pad. So that kind of... ineptitude goes both ways.
Here's one that I via a rule that you had in your book, or at least a tip that you had in your book to be a good customer that I violated just last week. It says, sit where you're seated. I usually do.
Oh, yeah.
I usually
okay.
do. But the other day I went into a nearly empty restaurant with my husband. It was a lunch, and it was... I was going to be seated next to a table of four with a baby that was fussing, and there were a million other empty tables. And I said, do we have to be right on top of someone? I just said very quietly, and I did kind of get a dirty look, and I was led somewhere else. And so I can't, you know, in that situation, request a little better seat.
This is very often what happens. This is what people don't know. They walk into a restaurant, they see tons of empty seats, and the waiter sticks them to a table that they don't like. What is very often the case is just because the restaurant is empty, half an hour later it may be full. Mm-hmm. The bistro, we would literally have every table spoken for. By 7 o'clock, the place would be full, and at 6:30 it would be empty. So people would come in and say, all these tables are reserved except for the one by the check printer. And people would get upset. And I was saying, this is it. You didn't come in with a reservation. This is all I have for you. But sometimes, sometimes waiters are, it happens. Waiters are just lazy. Or you have, they're rotating the tables through the sections. So they want every waiter to have, they want to divide the work evenly and never give everyone a chance to make money. But that's not the customer's problem. And it's annoying sometimes. But very often the case is that all the tables have been reserved, and that's the only table they have.
All right, I'll sit where I'm seated.
Or they just don't like you. But something tells me you're a nice person. So.
I try to be. And you sound like you are, too. Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you very much for having me.
Steve Dublanica is the author of Waiter Rant. Thanks for the tip, Confessions of a Cynical Waiter. And we thank him for being with us. We thank Carmen Jackson for producing the hour, and to Cynthia Schuster and Michelle Kofel for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.